Okay, let's get going. So we name our sins to God the Father.
好，我们现在开始今天的课程，让我们先向天父认罪。
Father in heaven, we give thanks to you that we have this time to study your word.
感谢天父，让我们能够有时间研读你的话语。
As we research your word, that we can discover new things and even review old ones that we need to remember.
在研究你的话语的同时呢，让我们能够复习过去所学，以及学习新的，让我们更能够理解。
And that we can add this information to the spiritual life which you've given to us.
而因着这样的学习，让我们能够加入更多的资讯到我们的属灵的生命中。
So we give thanks for this time in Christ's name.
所有的感谢因着主耶稣基督之名。
Amen.
Amen.
So I thought what we'd do to start off the lesson is to define some of these concepts we've been studying about.
好，我们今天呢，在开始的时候要先把我们在学的这些主要的概念呢，把它设定清楚，定义清楚。
If we cannot define terms properly, and this just isn't for Bible doctrine, this is for any subject or any occupation in life, if you don't have the proper terms, it's very difficult to communicate what you're trying to say.
如果我们不管在学习任何一个领域的事情，对于它的一些名词没有被定义清楚的时候，我们其实在整个教导或沟通的过程中都会有很多的误会。
Remember, it was one of the first things, in fact, probably the first job that was given by God to Adam was to name things, give names to things and situations.
就像当初天父给亚当的第一个任务呢，就是让亚当可以为世界的每一个人事物命名。
It seems like when God created Adam, he was created as an adult, and he would have had some kind of a vocabulary to begin with, it seems like. He had a built-in vocabulary. But then God said to Adam, well, you have to name the creatures. That was very important. And also there'd be other abstract concepts, perhaps, which Adam had to invent words for.
可能啊，天父在创造亚当的时候呢，他一被创造起来已经是个大人了，而且他已经有一些基础的语汇，好，可以来做沟通，甚至可以对人事物做命名。那在这样子的一个基础之下呢，亚当在可能还需要再去创造一些概念或名词来对那些比较抽象的事情也可以有一个描述。
One of the most important factors of the spiritual conflict is this communication, and this relationship we have with God, and it has to be based on the communication of ideas. See, our relationship with God, and whether you're talking about God's relationship with the angels or with humans, and our relationship back to God, it's all about communication.
像天父跟我们的一个关系，或者是天父跟天使之间的关系，或者我们讲说这个天使的征战里面呢，其实都跟所谓的沟通是有关系的。
And obviously the deeper the level of language that you have, then the deeper concepts you can go into and the deeper a relationship becomes. With our relationship with God, it needs to become quite, I say, sophisticated or deep. Mm-hmm. So you need a deep or sophisticated level of communication.
就是比较深刻的沟通才会有深刻的关系。
Yeah, and because we need to understand these great concepts of God, yeah, he is God. He's not just this simple being.
而且神他的伟大的这些观念其实都是非常深刻的，就是他是神耶，只有神，他神所思所想的那种伟大性，如果没有非常深刻的文字，如何能表达？
And his plan is very sophisticated as well.
而且神的计划绝对也是非常的精致的。
And to be able to understand God and his plan, you obviously need to be able to define everything about God. You need to define everything about his plan, which means putting labels on things, giving them names.
所以所有有关神的所有的思维、想法、计划，所有的东西都要被很深刻的这个作为一个定义，那这样子的话才这个过程中几乎我们都要把 很多的概念也要给上一个标签。那这所谓给标签，它其实就是要给一个名字。
And you have to remember that these concepts, you know, God's thinking is communicated to us in very old languages. You go back to the Hebrew and you go back to the Greek, they're thousands of years old.
而很多的这些名词都是从希伯来文、希腊文，都是数千年前就有的一些文字记载。
Nobody speaks those languages these days. Obviously, we study in seminary, but they're both very difficult languages to understand, even in written form.
而这些语言就是希伯来文、希腊文，其实现在已经很少人在真的在使用了。也许在这些神学院里面有教导，但是也不是我们平常对话在用的语言。
But fortunately in the world today, there are still people that, you know, they go to university and they become like scholars in these languages. So they can keep us up to date with these languages and help us to understand what the Bible really means in the original languages.
还好呢，就是有这些神学院的学者们，他们持续的在研究这个语言，所以到目前我们还可以一直的能够理解当年圣经上所记载的这些神的概念，神的观念。
And we're fortunate for people like R.B. Thiem Jr., for example. Remember, he studied the Hebrew and the Greek before he went to seminary. And that's the way they used to do things. They don't really do it anymore. But that meant that when they studied the Bible, they could go directly to the original languages.
像上校牧师呢，他在当年其实在进神学院之前，他其实在学校先学希伯来文跟希腊文。所以他把这语言都学得非常好以后，才进到神学院开始学习神学。
And from then, and from there in his studies, he brings out these concepts to us using the English, but then we have to bring it into the Chinese as well, and the Thai, for Thai students as well.
然后呢，当这个上校牧师开始讲道的时候，他在教学的时候呢，就可以用英文把他彻底理解的这个圣经的教义呢，用英语好来教导。那现在呢，我们当然又用中文或者是泰语来做教导。
And of course, every time you go from one language to another, you have to find the correct terms. It's always open to a lot of mistakes. It's very easy to get misled.
而当我们用任何一个新的语言来教导的时候，它其实就必须要找到对的那个名词的翻译。有的时候，这中间一定会发生一些误会，一些错误。那我们必须要慢慢的把它调教成正确的这个语汇。
When I first started doing translation work for Max in Thailand, we were going from English to Thai. There's a small team of us and we do the translations. But even after the books were published, and we were actually publishing the books through the publishers, and we'd check them again and again and again. We thought that we'd get them right. We'd send them to the publishers. And when the books came back, we'd be checking through the books and we found mistakes. And that's normal, I guess. It shouldn't be, but that's what happens.
那像Tim 当初呢是因为跟着那个 Max 牧师哦，他开始当 Max 牧师的这个翻译，把他从英语翻成泰语，好，然后用泰语来让泰国人可以这个接触到这一套神学。但是他们也成立了一个小的一个 team 一个组织哦，这个小群呢很努力的要把这些上校牧师的一些书籍或者是 Max 牧师的一些神学的理论变成出版品。那他们花非常多的时间去研究正确的翻译，而且一再又一再的去这个修正，就然后终于送到出版社，等到印出来的时候，他们一打开又看到错误，所以这种事情是一定会发生的。
And even from our understanding, my understanding of doctrine changed as well. So as a translator, I could go back and I could look at it 5 years later and say, well, actually, now we're using different vocabulary and I understand the concepts differently. And that was the same thing with our Chinese translators as well. And we have people that have done the Chinese work and later on they come back and say, well, actually, I need to do some of the stuff again. And so we'd have to do it again.
而且从这个教义的这个分析跟教导的方式来讲的话，也随着时间要这个与日俱增的去做调整，所以在很多时候他们在教学的过程中，几年后再去看当时的教材，也会想要用新的方法去描述或诠释，所以这个东西也一直要调整。
So as students, you know, you need to be a little bit patient because sometimes we might present something in one way, And then later on, maybe the vocabulary will change a little bit. The concept's always the same. You have to remember, doctrine itself never changes. But the way that you can be talking about concepts, or the vocabulary used might change a little bit.
而我们必须知道呢, 就是神的给的教义是永远不会变的。 但是对我们人用语言去描述这个教义的观念的时候, 会随着时代会有一些改变。 所以大家学习的学生们要非常有耐心。 好，愿意这样一直跟着牧师，一直随着时代的改变去得到最新的语汇的描述。
And you'll see an example of that. I've got three terms up on the board at the moment, and these are terms which probably have their own vocabulary within different churches. But even sometimes, like the vocabulary that Christians use in church, even that's not very accurate as well.
那今天呢，要在黑要讲的这几个词呢，现在写在黑板上啊。那其实这些词在不同的教会可能都用不同的一些语汇来描述它，但是不见得曾经经常被教会用的语汇就是正确的语汇。Ultimately,
what's important is whatever vocabulary you use, you know, you try to create or find a terminology which is accurate as possible, but you have to define that. And then by defining that, you assign a meaning to what that word means. Okay, so ultimately when you do have a vocabulary and you have to settle on a particular vocabulary, but then you have to define, and everybody needs to understand what this word means so that there's no room for misunderstanding.
Are we talking about translation or the original words?
Well, both really. For now, we can be talking about words which are general words used in the church to describe different things. But everybody can assign a different meaning to that word as well.
Okay. 就即使是我们现在有了很明确的文字, 那这个文字对于每一个人的意义是不是, 因为每一个人的生活经验会对他那个字的那个概念也, 在我们心中可能也都是不一样的。 所以我们也要经由共同的这个定义, 把每一个字的真正的意义都定义清楚, 在这个过程中间其实我们才会对这个词汇有了更深刻的了解。
I'll just give you a couple of examples so you can sort of see what I'm getting at. The first is the word baptism.
所以呢，现在Tim他就要给我们几个例子, 这个例子让我们了解这个所谓要定义每一个词汇的真正的意义是什么。
Okay, and the first is the word baptism.
第一个呢，就是要谈一下这个所谓洗礼这个字。
I've taught a lot about baptism and how there's seven different types of baptism.
那之前Tim已经讲过很多的这个有关洗礼的事情，那这洗礼这个词呢，其实有七种意义，七种洗礼。And
most Christians, if you start talking about baptism, the first thing that comes to their mind is this baptism where you're going under the water, you know, when you're a new Christian and you're coming out of the water and it's this ceremony that you have.
一般人想到洗礼的时候，他一定想象的是我们受洗的时候要被浸到水中，然后起来，然后的这个整个仪式，把它当作是洗礼的最标准的概念。And
as we've discovered when we study about the doctrine of the seven baptisms, actually four baptisms mentioned in Scripture don't even use water at all. There's seven altogether. There's four that don't have water, and there's three that do have water, which are actual ritual baptisms.
其实在圣经里面提到的洗礼一共有七种，但这七种里面真正会用到水的只有四种。三种，用水。
The four that are dry, which don't use water.
Sorry. 有四种，重来一遍哈。圣经里面一共讲到七种洗礼，但其中呢用到水的只有三种，那没有用水的是四种。
One of the what we call dry baptisms is even called the baptism of fire, and you can't get more opposite from water than fire, right?
这四种不用水的洗礼称之为干洗，干洗的其中一种是用火，用火的洗礼，那火绝对不可能跟水混在一起用的。
And the most important baptism of all, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, obviously that doesn't use water either.
那另外一个更重要的洗礼当然是被圣灵洗礼，那绝对是不需要用到水的。That's
the most important baptism, and the only one that counts for your salvation. It's the most important baptism, and it's the only one that has any relation to salvation, really.
而这个所谓圣灵的洗礼是最重要的一个洗礼，好，在七种里面最重要的，而且这个是绝对跟我们的 救恩直接关联性的。
See, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, it says there's only one baptism. There's one baptism, one faith, one Lord. And when he says one baptism, he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
而这个在以弗所书四章五节就讲到哈，他说对这个章节来说，真正的洗礼只有一种，就是圣灵的洗礼，是凭着信心，一种信心，然后一种
one Lord，
唯一的一个主，这就是以弗所书四章五节所讲的。
And half the problem, I guess, in Chinese, because the word 洗礼 and most people also think 洗 is like to wash, I guess, no?
No, for 洗 can be dry.
Oh, clean, dry cleaning, maybe?
No, that's just the same thing you are talking about.、We never think 洗 has to be water.
Okay, but it's always related to cleaning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas baptism, they're really, like you have the baptism of Moses, that's not to do with cleaning. The baptism of fire is not really a cleaning. The baptism of the Holy Spirit.
No. I think you define a 洗 is too narrow. For Chinese, 洗 is the same thing, it's really broad.
The character of the 洗 is 三点水，所以如果你从这字来讲
，But the older poet、they use this word in many ways.、
Oh, okay.
So I think it's the same thing as baptism.
Okay, but the point is that when you do say baptism, usually people think about water. That's what most people think because they always talk about, "Have you been baptized yet?" And if you say to someone, "Have you been baptized yet?" they don't think you're talking about the Holy Spirit.Mm-hmm. They think you're talking about the water baptism.
Yeah, it's more like the water baptism. They think it's quite important ceremony.
Right.
Yeah. Translate something.
Okay, we'll just say, getting back to the main point is that when people hear the word baptism, they think about the water baptism.
就是很多人呢在一般在讲到洗礼的时候会以为这个水洗是最重要的这个洗礼。但是按照这个以弗所书四章五节来讲的话，这个圣灵的洗礼才是最重要的。
Yeah, and remember the word baptism actually means identification. It's got nothing to do with washing or cleaning or anything like that. What it means is that something is identified with something else and there's a change in its nature. That's what the word baptisma in the Greek, the original Greek really means.
Excuse me, when you say identification is related to the baptism.
That's what the word baptism means.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.好，对于 baptism 这个字呢，就洗礼的这个字呢，它真正的概念哦，与水无关，而是在于一个定位、定义。
Yeah, we had a word for this as well. 归入。
归入。
I think that's one of the words we use to help define that.
Identification.跟归入我觉得很奇怪但这个以前我们讨论过哈，就是说它其实是被，它的重点是在于改变你的状态，改变你的天然状态 ，nature， 你的本性之类的。
Yeah, okay. Well, here's the point, and this is showing our point, is that you know, we've spent weeks in the past, quite like when I was in China, and we discussed about the seven baptisms. Yeah, so I'm just giving an example here. So here we are. We're trying to define this word baptism. It's very, very difficult.
Okay, 所以这只是一个举例，就是我们要去把这个所谓。洗礼这个词呢解释清楚把它定义清楚它其实是蛮困难的事我们现在只是试着来让大家想象这个所谓的定义名词好 的难度。
Yeah, on the website, the IB Doctrine website, I do actually have the Doctrine of the Seven Baptism. It's not too long, it's about 7 or 8 pages. But we actually spent probably about a month or 2 months talking about this word when we were in China last time.
在听的教学中呢他会需要讲到这个洗礼哦的那个文献差不多只有七八页但是这七八页他们曾经花了一个月来讲解这个所谓洗礼的概念。
And we had to do that because we needed to define that word baptism and what it meant and all of the applications.
所以要定义这个名词呢它其实要把它真正的意义做非常多的诠释然后以及它的使用的方式大家才能够说把这个所谓这个洗礼这个词定义清楚。
Another example that we have of a word which needs to be defined properly or a word that we've appointed to represent even a whole doctrine and that's the rebound.
然后另外一个很重要也很容易不清楚也必须要花力气去说清楚的就是反弹这个概念。
Different people call it different things, and even in the Bible, it's given different names as well.
这个反弹的这个概念，在圣经或者是很多不同的人给他的这个说法上面，都其实都还蛮多不同的诠释方式的。
Some people might call it confession of sins.
像有些人会把这个概念称之为是认罪。
Okay, or we could say naming of your sins, which means defining each sin that you have.
我们也有说法就是把每一个罪都要讲清楚，把它明唱明一样的方式来说认罪的事情。
Just trying to think, in 1 Corinthians, Paul uses the words, if we, almost like review, I'll have to look at it, but like reviewing the sins that we do, and then naming them to God.
然后像哥林多前书呢，保罗他用了一个好像是那种 review, 就是回想或者是这样。
It's like recalling the sins.
检视哈，检查，然后去回想哈，你的所有的罪，那这是保罗用的一个词，就是说，其实即使在圣经里面，不同的人在谈这件事情，对于认罪的这个概念里面，都用了不同的动词，好来或名词来解释它。
Remember, we studied the word homologeo, and 1 John 1:9 uses that word, which is a word used in a court when a guilty person, a criminal, has to name his sins to the judge.
那像在约翰一书里面呢提到的这个认罪呢，他把它当作是好像在法庭里面犯罪的人好去跟法庭的法官说出他的，有点像是唱明出他自己真正犯罪的内容。
The point is of this, whatever word you use to talk about this naming of sins or rebound or confession is the person that's doing it has to understand all of the doctrinesurrounding this concept.
所以对于任何一个人在学习这个所谓认罪的这个概念，或者是有些人把它称之为反弹等等的概念的时候，大家要真的不是只是谈那一个词，然后以为是自己心目中的那个概念，你要整体的去研究跟这整件事情所有相关的这个观念，然后在这个观念之下被一个名词代表这整套的观念。
And like any part of the Bible, now it's quite easy to explain the concept in simple terms. For example, I can just say, if you name your sins to God the Father, He forgives you your sins.
但是很多时候呢，我们都很容易用很简单的词句就想说，我了解了，所以你就说，我要对天父认罪，然后他就会免了我们所有的罪。所以你就只用了一个对神认你的罪，你就以为你懂了吗？这就很难说。
But as I noted, the Colonel himself has written about 3 or 4 books on this, and then you have a lot of other scholars and seminaries that, they can spend months teaching about the subject as well. So that, just like anything, any subject, you can go very deeply with it, and the deeper you go, the more applications you can have.
所以呢，像上校牧师呢，他就花了3-4本书来谈反弹哦。然后很多的其他的一些圣经学者，他们可能会花了几个月去把这个主题给诠释出来。所以呢，对于任何一个词，它可以当作是一个主题来看的时候，你只要对它的研读越深刻，你就越懂得要怎么样去运用它。
Okay, so with those things in mind, that's why I want to go through these terms that we have on the board, because they need to be defined as well, so that later on when I'm teaching them, it helps us to understand the deeper meaning.
这就是 Tim 他要先让我们了解说为什么要花时间来把一些名词做定义的很大的一个背景。那今天我们就要来谈白板上的3个名词的定义。
Okay, so the first one we have here is the will of God.
第一个呢就是神的旨意。
Really, the will of God is what God wants, how God wants things to happen.
什么叫做神的旨意？其实就是神他要什么，他想要让事情怎样。
But, like anything, we can categorize it so that the will of God can actually be defined in 3 major categories.
但是任何一个词呢，它都有可能需要再更清楚的再分开来讨论哈。所以呢，这个所谓神的旨意呢，我们又可以把它分成3个类型。
Now what I'm quoting from here, if I can find the zoom, this is going to come out of the book which is called Divine Guidance. So you can actually read about this in this book here.
有关这个神的旨意呢, 最好的这个诠释就是要看神的指引, okay. 这本书。
And so the first one that you have here is the sovereign will, and sovereign means highest. This is his position as the king of the universe.
这个第一个呢, 就是等于是最高权位的旨意。
And the sovereign will is how God has said, this is how things will be.
这个事情呢, 就是等于是以神的角度来看事情真正该怎么样。
But it doesn't always work out that way.
但是不见得都是这样的结果。
Okay, see what happens, and we notice this every day when we look around in society around us, society is such a mess, is that people are going against the sovereign will of God.
就像我们现在看到世界, 整个世界一团混乱, 那代表的是这个世界并没有按照神的旨意在运作, 就是等于是最高权力的这个君王的旨意, 并没有按照他的想法在这样运作。
It's because we have our free will, and we lie and we deceive people, and you know, there's injustices, crime, etc., etc.
这是因为我们人是有自由意志的, 所以我们下的很多决定都不是如神所期待的, 而且我们会骗人, 我们会做一些不公不义的事情, 这才会让这个世界这么的混乱。
But God allows that to happen.
但是神却可以在某些程度上, 祂会让它发生。
This is the devil's world.
因为这是一个魔鬼的世界。
And under the rules, we call it the rules of engagement. For the angelic conflict. So remember, often you talk about when armies go to war, they have these, what we call rules of engagement, which means the rules of the battle. Engagement means like when you've got two enemies and that they're coming together to fight. They're engaging, they're joining up in battle.
这个我们把它称之为战争的规则。
Well, it's like, you know, when two countries go to war, often that they might have rules about how they fight.
就像两个国家一开始打仗的时候, 他们是有一些要怎么样互相打仗的基本原则, 基本的规则。
And there's rules set up between God and Lucifer.
神与路西佛, 他们互相同意的一个规则, 一起设定的。
One of those would be that God has to allow people to use their free will, which from his justice and truth, he does that. He allows people to use their free will.
这个规则的基础是在神，他决定让人是可以有自由意志的。People
are free to follow God and His plan, or they're free to rebel against God.
所以我们人是可以有自由决定权，是要跟随顺服于神的旨意，或者是他可以背逆神。Now
what's going to happen though is there's also what's called the law of responsibility, or the law of volitional responsibility. That means you have to face the consequences of your bad decisions.
还有一个规则呢, 是你必须要对你自己所下的决定要负责。 如果他, 你下了一个坏的决定, 就会有后果, 这个后果是你自己要去承担。
Okay, but either way, we see all these bad things going on in the world. We ourselves, we sin, we make bad decisions, but God allows those things to happen.
所以我们人会因着罪性去犯罪，而就下了一些坏的决定， 然后我们就必须要去承担后果。 这些事情都是神可以接受的。
And that's called the permissive will, meaning that God permits these things to happen.
这就是所谓的这个被神可以允许的旨意。